EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody at above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. See, I passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from. How are you all? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Our first guest tonight is Gary in Nevada, and Gary is a 30-year contactee and he will be sharing some of his communications with us. Then we speak to Jay in the Philippines about his experiences that took place in New York State starting in the late 1950s. Gary is up first. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly recurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Good morning, Gary, and welcome to the podcast.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from the state of Nevada.
Yes, I am, and thank you for having me.
You are more than welcome, Gary. You have some encounters to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Start in the beginning. Nick, the beginning, I mean, you go back to where I was maybe 5 years old. First encounter, I'm a little kid. I'm in my bed, and I hear these beings in my room. I hear them in my closet. I call for my mom. She comes in and tells me, "You're just dreaming." And go back to sleep, and I'm telling her, but I wasn't dreaming. I was awake. Okay. Typical mom, you know, yeah, you're dreaming, and shine it off at that. I think that happened twice. It went away, and I never dealt with that again. When I was in the sixth grade, my family went from the United States, and we lived in Canada for about a year. My dad had a job that they did. So I'm living in Canada. I'm going to school there, and we lived at a house out in the middle of nowhere on a lake. And I used to feel a presence outside of my room, but they never came in my room. Kind of scary. Not kind of. It was scary as a kid, sixth grade. So that was the last thing. Now it jumps forward to when I was like 25 and I'm with a friend of mine. We're coming home. We got off work. We work together. We go to my apartment, hang out for a little bit, and I'm driving him home. And we're driving and I'm talking and he quits answering. And I look over and he's looking out the window of my car with his jaw dropped, the passenger side. And I just see this big, huge, the size of a shopping mall in the sky, very low, spinning very slowly. And I'm all, it's a freaking UFO. And he's all, no, it's not. So I turn down, I start driving towards it, and I'm driving towards it. And I feel that there's, we're being watched. We're being tracked, whatever it may be. So I look up and right above my car on both sides, there's two of them following us. And I tell them, look, they see that we're following this thing. They know we see it, and they know we're driving towards it. And he starts to panic out. He ends up kind of fetal positioned in my front seat and very emotional, asking me to take him home, take him home, take him home. I finally turn around because he's starting to get a little too emotional. And when I turn around and take them home, I look back and they're all gone. And that was my first experience seeing one of these craft. Now, they explained to me that this whole experience was the basically almost a turn on a light switch inside of me. It got me to where I started studying UFOs, reading about spirituality. I was just obsessed with it. And I've been obsessed with them since then. It changed my life. That one night changed my life. Some time went by, Nick. I ended up living in the back of a truck. I was homeless for almost 10 years in the 90s. So the beginning of that, I'm in this truck and I start going through what I describe as a near-death experience. It was anxiety. It was feeling like your brain's flipping upside down in your head and you're dying is what it felt like. So at some point, it got so bad, I get back in my truck, I lay down. A voice starts talking to me. It starts explaining to me about a band of energy that's around our planet. Okay. We tap into it creatively, like we're talking about musicians, meaning, you know, artists, whatever it may be. You tap into this band of creativity and you come out of it with something that's colored by your personality. So they showed me a song by Rage Against the Machine, Bulls on Parade. And then they showed me a song that I had written that was very similar. I'm all, wow, that I see how this is slightly different from them, slightly different from me. So they got the song going. So I asked them for something original. So they start giving me a song. I ask for violins and cellos come in. I ask for a vocal line. I start singing face first in the back of my truck. So they answer some questions and I, you know, talk with them. And I had to get up for some reason and they were gone. And I'm trying to get them back and I can't get them back. And I'm going, wow, I guess that was a fluke. But that kind of explains my whole near-death experience thing that I had been going through multiple times before this. Time goes by. All of a sudden, I start to get it again. Voice starts talking to me. They start explaining things to me. And I go, okay, I got to get up and answer the call of nature. And you're going to be gone. When as soon as I move, like last time, you'll be gone. You're not going to come back. I can't communicate with you. They said, okay, we've been with you your whole life, and we will be with you the rest of your life. So go. We will be back. And I'm doing my thing. And all of a sudden, they tell me to get back in the car. There's a cop coming, police. So I get back in my truck and I'm looking out through the little crack and police car drives by. So I'm kind of going, whoa, this is definitely unusual. So I go to sleep and they told me we'll be with you the rest of your life. Okay. So I wake up the next morning. So good morning, Gary. How are you? Blah, 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 blah. And they start going. They did this for probably a day and a half, 2 days. I don't know. It's been quite some time. Okay. But they did this for a couple of days. So I finally said I would like to have my mind back if I could. Okay. And they said, okay, well, going forward, we will just answer questions. Now, at this point, when I first started doing this, they spoke directly through my mouth, through me, like they were in my body. I could listen to what they're saying, have my own thoughts separate from what they're saying. Okay. And they're answering questions for people and this and that. And I even had a friend go, dude, I don't mean to insult you, but whatever this is that's speaking through you is much more intelligent than you are. And I'm, yeah, I'm not insulted. I get it, dude. It's going through me. I could feel it. I could hear what they're saying. So I do this for a little bit and I'm answering questions for people. And one day I'm reading a book in the back of my truck and it happened to be on extraterrestrials and how certain individuals in our society were humanoid aliens and they come out and said, look, we're an alien. We got this artwork that would get inside people's head and all this. Okay. So I'm reading the book and I'm laying there and I see what looks like a frame of a UFO pop out from behind a cloud and pop back in. And I'm all, what kind of different? Does it again? And the voice tells me, okay, we're the ones that have been talking to you the past few months. And I'm all, oh, okay. I started seeing the UFOs on a daily basis, and it probably was odd. Probably took me a few days, a week maybe, and I finally asked them, you know, what do I call you? Do you have a name? And they said, Quintile. You can call us Quintile. Okay, Quintile, what are you? What? And they said, we're what that you would call the Signe. You can call us the Signe, please. And we're extraterrestrials that look exactly like you do. or you look like us is really what it is. That's basically how I broke through and made my communication with these beings. And it's been now a little over 30 years that I have openly been communicating with them. In hindsight, I realized that all through my childhood, they did. And I thought it was me with a very active imagination that caused me to do very poorly in school because I was very distracted. They would give me comics and teachers' wives and a comic strip that was just hilarious. And I didn't concentrate in school and didn't do very well. And I got into music high school. I thought I was going to be the next Gene Simmons and play music and pursued that and dropped out of high school, actually. I've never graduated. So that brings me 30 years later with a whole lot of information. And yep.
It seems that at your lowest point, they made a connection with you.
Exactly. To be honest with you, Nick, I think that probably saved my life. I don't know if I would have made through the years of homeless that I did without them. There's one point, and I didn't realize this until after I had gone through this experience. I'm living in this truck, and I'm sitting, and this is the town I grew up in. I'm sitting on a curb outside of my truck. I got money. I got no food. I got no gas. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm looking up in the hills in the town I grew up in. There's some red and blue lights flashing, fog coming up. Now, this is where I grew up. This is where I had my first car. I grew up there with my first girlfriend. And I'd never, ever, ever seen anything that would create light and fog up in these hills. So I'm sitting there watching this. And a guy comes walking out of the hill. He had long hair. He was a black guy. Long hair, guy, long hair, black guy. He was a guitar player, and he was homeless. So I'm a long-haired white guy, guitar player, homeless. He came same level as me. Asked me, what are you doing? Well, I'm watching this up in the hills and trying to figure out what the heck it is, you know? And he says, well, that's for you. You need to go up there and see what it is. And I just kind of, that went to the back of my mind, Nick. I don't know. I just didn't think about it. And he asked me, what else? What are you, what's going on with you? What are you doing? I said, I have no money. I have no food. I have no gas. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he says, okay, well, let's get in your truck. And we get in my truck with another guitar player friend, and he takes me and shows me where to get food, showed me where to get a voucher, and it was just a one-time thing to get gas, and we got some gas. And he says, okay, I'm going to take and show you where you can go every Tuesday and Thursday and get a hot dinner. So we show up at this place. We tried to get him to go play music with us down at the studio. He just kept avoiding that whole conversation, okay? We go to a church. We get out, and he's all, yeah, tonight's the dinner, and okay, well, hey, thank you. I appreciate everything you did. You want to have dinner with us? He says, no, I got some friends waiting on me, and pointed over, and there's a group of people just staring at us. There's one woman, I believe four guys. So, hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Everything you did, and good luck to you. I turn around, I talk to my friend. We look back, and they're all gone. Now, in hindsight, my guide told me this was us. My guide, Quintale, is five of these humanoid ETs. So the one was in the truck was one of them, and then the other ones were waiting on him. They walked up, and they were gone. That was my first face-to-face encounter with them that I know of. They come right down to your level. Right, you just go, wow, this is a really, I could relate to this guy. Really good person.
Yeah, you were able to completely relate. You know, he had a guitar on him. He was homeless, and then he showed you where you can go and helped you.
Exactly. And they says they've done this throughout the history of mankind. This is how they work with people. You never even know that you're dealing with an ET.
And it would make a lot of sense for them to do that. And I think it's the same kind of way, you know, when you hear stories of angels, you know, where people would have these strange encounters with people and they're helped out, you know, a bit like that TV show. Remember Highway to Heaven?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Kind of like that, you know, and he was in human form and he always helped people.
Yes, yeah. As a matter of fact, we just as a family watched the movie tonight, Michael. I don't know if you've ever seen John Travolta, Michael, where he plays the angel.
I remember that one. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, good movie.
Good movie indeed. What did you say their name was?
My guide's name is Quintale, like Quinn-ta-lay. Quintale. Quintale. Okay, like for human, they're the Senye. Like S-E-E-N-Y-A-Y, Senye.
And did they ever say where they were from?
They're from Earth. They exactly have told me where they're from. They've been on this planet for billions of years. We're going through complete physical human understanding, learning what it is to be physically human. It's a reincarnation process. It takes a couple thousand lives. We go through this. Then you move on through 78 other forms of mental and physical development. Each one of these 78 levels has a dimension. Like, we have the physical plane and two lower astral planes. That's a dimension. You hear a parallel dimension. That's what the parallel dimensions are. Each one of these levels of development require a dimension to play out the lessons, like we're doing on the physical plane, okay? Xenia, they're exactly like us. They're no different than we are. They went through complete physical human understanding here on Earth, just as we are now. That's why you got a million of hammer, modern day hammer, and 400 million year old piece of coal, for example. There's been advanced humans on this planet way, way, way before us, way, way, way before what we consider the prehistoric era. Okay, that's exactly what they are. They've gone through what we're going through, and then the other 78, they're to the point where they can use 100% of the total human mental capacity.
So they've always been here guiding us.
They have been here guiding us, and not only are they here guiding us, this planet, for them, a biological genetic warehouse. This is where they get all of the genetics that they use in other places. They say, like Alpha Centauri, this is a common belief in the UFO community, is that Alpha Centauri is coming here to visit us, look at and study us or watch us or whatever. They're developing genetics and taking them from here to Alpha Centauri. Okay. Now, the beings I'm telling you I'm communicating with are human. They look like us. You'd never know none the different unless they want you to know. Okay. Now, there are the other beings that look like your typical alien, grays and whatnot. What they are, they call them the Gongolay. Gongolay, you got the 78 layers of development that you go through, and I'm telling you the senior at the top of this. The Gongolay are about halfway between, and what they are is like worker bees for the senior, and they develop all the physical bodies and plants and animals and biological structures like Earth. And they do this for the senior. They work together. And if you'll hear some abductees say, okay, I'm in this craft and I'm being abducted and I got these big bug headed looking aliens over me doing this stuff, and there's like US military off to the side watching. It's not the military. That's the senior. They look like us. They're running the whole show.
And even up until today, are they still interacting with you?
Absolutely. When they said, Nick, that they would be with me the rest of my life, they've been with me the rest of my life. I jokingly tell people that, yeah, I got the lives to cap, because they've saved my life, Nick, since I was a teenager a couple of times that I know of, helping me answer questions. I just did a post last night about a guy I'm speaking with on Messenger, and he's telling me his story about how he met a guy, and this guy says, well, I'm from another planet. And he tells the guy that I'm talking with that you're from another planet, too. Now, a couple of years ago, Nick, I probably would have told this guy, you know, I think maybe you're confusing things about being from a different planet, because I didn't think it worked that way. But in reading this guy's story, I'm reading his story, and my guides are showing me it's like a big panoramic picture of different dimensions and how we're learning on different levels. And that's what this guy is from, one of these levels, and what he's telling me is the truth. But it was wiped clean that he is actually not of humanity. Okay, just like when we're born into a physical body, all of our previous lives are put on a back burner. You forget about it. You will never forget about them once you cross back over. But when you're physically alive, it's just kind of stored away until you die and go back to these astral planes, which the astral planes, the spiritual, we're all a spiritual energy, just like the senye I mentioned. They're spirits. They've been through the reincarnation, and they don't go through live birth and all this like we are, because they've been through that and moved past that. We're all going through these levels of understanding. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy with his friend told him he was from another planet, and they showed me in a panoramic picture, added to what I have learned from them so far, and they just added in more pieces that fit into what I call the bigger picture. They call the process of creation. These 78 forms of mental, physical understanding. And then it fits in with this, the yugas, the four cycles of the earth, and it repeats. We're all gods in training, is what I was getting at.
And are you able to call on them?
Yes. I will ask them questions, and they generally will answer. They're generally around me, Nick.
So are you able to, say, if you was to drive out into the desert, would you able to initiate a contact physically with them?
Yes, I've done that, okay. I've had them appear for other people. I've had them appear for people that I know. I've had them appear for a gentleman in the UK. He started, you know, and I tell him when I do this, you got to be very patient. You got to be very open-minded. You got to look at the subtle. Because, for example, I've done this and an airplane will fly by. I generally have people go out and watch the sky for an hour. What do you see? Do you have air traffic? Do you have whatnot? Airplanes fly by. And this one particular guy was going, yeah, an airplane flew by, but there was something odd about it. It just didn't look right or fly right. And I told him, okay, that was them. Now, if you acknowledge that what you just saw is not an actual airplane and is these extraterrestrials, it's going to progress. And it progressed with him to the point where I remember him writing me. Now, this has been years. Writing to me and saying, I got this little UFO flying around in my garden. So it depends on the person. Some people, Nick, are not meant to see them. Some people cannot handle seeing them. But yeah, I've at will have asked them to appear in the house. Me and some friends, we've gone out and had a blast just watching different manifestations of these craft.
Like I say on the show, keep watching the skies. That's all I do. If I'm outside, that's all I do day or night. In between recordings, of
okay.
course.
If they want you to know, like I said before, Nick, you're not going to know unless they want you to know.
That is true. You know, and like you said about the previous guy that you were messaging, I've had a few guests on, which an example would be there was a guy in America and he lived in a very small town, a town where everyone knew each other. And he was telling me he was at the bar with a load of his mates and two people came into the bar. It wasn't long ago, this episode, but a couple of people come into the bar and they're wearing what looked like 70s clothes. And they apparently were a bit different. Nobody recognized him because it was such a small town. And this guy was chatting to him for a while and he then invited him back to another friend's backyard where they continued drinking his beer and stuff. And they told him, they goes, you know, we're not from around here. We're from another planet.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they left and they thought that was strange.
Yeah.
Strange little meetings with people.
Yes. I think it's probably more common than people realize. A lot of people, Nick, don't want to admit that, hey, I'm talking to an alien because I'm going to be looked at like you're crazy or an idiot or whatever label they want to put on you at that point. Yeah, I mean, you hear these people make them out to be monsters and all that. They're out here to invade us or take us over or all of that. I don't believe that's true, Nick. From what I've learned from them, it's not that you have good and bad extraterrestrials. It's the intentions of the humans, and a lot of it has to do with their life choices. So before you're born, you go through a meeting, you choose what you're going to learn, what you're going to be born to. Do you have a karmic debt you have to pay off? This is all guided by karma, this whole reincarnation process. So you go through this pre-birth meeting, you make your choices, you're born. And you go through this process.
It's been like going to a library, isn't it, and picking a book. And you're like, I want to read this book now. And I think that's the same thing with reincarnation. You know, you have to take different books. You can't always, you know, you obviously can't take the easy book. You have to take some of the books which are hard reading, you know, hard to absorb. And I think that's how life is. I think sometimes when people are going through difficult times in their life, can be make it easier by realizing that you've already chose this life and this is your learning process.
Nick, that's a really good way of putting it. I agree with you 100%. You know, it's like me, I've had a rough life. I haven't had an easy life. It still at this point is not easy. I struggled yesterday, you know, but it's what I've chosen to do and I've accepted that and it's what I'm learning. So you just kind of go with it.
And you wouldn't change your life?
There's parts that I would like to change, but is it meant to be changed? Probably not. I mean, I got a lot of business ideas that I want to do. Nick, my daughter's mother calls me the idea machine. I got sheets of ideas, okay? My main idea I want to do is called Work for Life, which is fixing broken lives. We would like to focus on the unwed young mothers that the guys bail on, leave them with kids, pull them into a tough love live-in program, and you basically got to reteach them because I don't know about in the UK, but in the United States, some of these kids, they have no parents at home. Both parents got to work, or it's a single mom that's trying to support these kids and she's at work and they're raised by a TV or who knows who, and they need to be retaught. This is, you know, how you get up and you have your breakfast, you brush your teeth, you take a shower, you make your bed, and this is how you pay your bills and get your job. And you train them in job skills, get them put in a job, teach them how to build credit, buy a house. I call it work for life. This is my main business idea that I want to do. But myself, I've never had money. I live, to be very, very honest with you, Nick, I live below the level of poverty in the United States. I don't have money. And in order to make money, everybody knows you got to have money. And one of these days, I'm going to get one of my ideas are going to jump off. I'll get an investor and I'll be able to do all of this that I want to do. But it's not going to be off of this information that I have from these ETs to sell it or make money or even to help people with their help or their advice or their information. That I couldn't charge for.
Yeah, of course not. And yeah, you're absolutely right. The worst teacher in the world is the television.
Yeah, it is. It is. So that's just kind of, that's one of the first things I've heard. This is common amongst people who come in contact with these beings. It's the first thing they do is they kind of instill in you to go out and help people's lives better. And they do. That's the first thing they did with me. And I believe that's why I went through the whole homeless thing. I grew up in one house, middle class, new school clothes every year, you know, Christmas presents, you know what I'm saying? Your basic, you know, a nice childhood. And I needed to learn how other people live. So I had to go through that experience of living in the back of this truck for 10 years to get it, you know? And in that times when they contacted me and helped me out of that situation. Weird how they work.
You know, the world would be a very different place if everyone did that. If everyone went out and helped people, the world would be a very different place.
It would. I agree with you. With this reincarnation process, my belief, and I want to say this, I'm not out to try to change anybody's belief system, you know what I'm saying, or convince anybody or whatever. I simply want to share what they shared with me.
Now, Gary, you have a Facebook page, is that right?
Yes.
What is the name of it?
The Theoretical Gift.
The Theoretical Gift. What kind of information do you have on there, Gary?
What I've been doing is, once again, 30 years I've been doing this, Nick, and I've gone online and tried to get these theories out. I get ridiculed, not put down. I get discouraged, give up. And I've done this a few times over the past 30 years. So this round right now, I've been at this probably about 2 months, and I'm getting a better response. I'm happy, happy, happy to say that. I deal with a lot of trolls, a lot of people. You're an idiot. You're a moron. You're on drugs. You're on, you know what I'm saying? And this time I'm getting a lot of support, really kind, nice people. So my Theoretical Gift Facebook page, basically I'm cross-posting what I've been posting on the internet, which is information I've gotten from my guides, Quintale, and some of my experiences with them. It's about sharing the information online. That's what the Theoretical Book Facebook page is about. So I'm talking with people and rather retyping it all. I can go here, go look at this. Read, please, if you would. And if you got questions, I'm more than happy to answer them in public forum or in Messenger. I get a lot of people come to me in Messenger that don't want to come out and tell their stories publicly because of the way people treat them. I've been through it. I know how they feel. But I don't let them stop me. I don't care what people think about me, Nick. This is what I've been through. This is, you know, I'm not making this up. And I don't feel I need to prove myself to anybody. If you want to listen, listen. If you don't, more power to you. But I'm not going to argue with you.
Exactly. How about that? Exactly. That's wonderful.
You know,
the Facebook page, The Theoretical Gift. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll put a link down below so people can go check it out.
Cool. Thank you.
You're more than welcome.
I'm welcome. Anybody that wants to come at me with questions, you know, as long as they're professional. And even there's people that come in and they don't agree with what I say, I can have a professional conversation. Hey, man, you need to make up for your mind what you want to believe, not have me tell you what to believe, you know, and I could have conversations. But when they get mean and nasty, not cool. But if anybody wants to contact me on Messenger, you know, I get people all the time. I get a lot of people that see these lights, start taking pictures and videos, and I kind of see this coming, and I'll contact them in Messenger, and once I get out of them that they're hearing a voice, like I hear a voice, I usually tell them, hey, I hear a voice. This information you're reading, it's from a voice that I hear. And once they will admit that they're hearing this voice, I can generally explain to them what's going on and usually introduce them to who's trying to talk to them, because that's all it is. You know what I'm saying? You got individuals trying to talk to you. They're your spirit guide. You give them a name, or I walk them through a process sometimes, and they got to figure the name out themselves and make them work for it. And then you take somebody that could be considered a schizophrenic. I can be considered schizophrenic because I hear a disembodied voice. And you take them from that to where they're basically a spiritual medium. They could do readings. They could use it as a friend. It's up to them what they want to do with their gift. But I get a lot of these coming to me in private because they don't want to admit in public, and I will never tell, share their stories or their names, you know? It's very personal.
Exactly. Of course. That's wonderful, Gary.
I just appreciate you giving me the opportunity. I really, really do. You're the first one that I've just given me an opportunity to talk, and it's been 30 years. So
this is what the show's about, Gary.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Is giving a voice to people. Gary, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Okay. Thank you.
You're more than welcome, Gary. Keep in contact. All right. Take care. And I'll talk soon to you.
Okay. Thank you, Nick.
Bye, Gary.
Bye-bye.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Hello, Jim, and welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from the Philippines.
Yes, I'm originally from the United States, but I migrated to the Philippines and living here.
Good choice. Now, Jim, your experiences go back to the late 1950s. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, back when I was, probably 3.5, 4 years old, I caught pneumonia. And I know a lot of people say they call it near-death experience, but I was dead. I knew I was dead. I saw myself. And anyways, when I left my body, I was out of it. I seen a doorway, and I knew it was whatever I was. It was the way home to go through that doorway. Well, in the back of the doorway, it was like the whole back. It looked like it was like a mile away from the doorway. The light didn't come all the way to the door, and I knew somebody was supposed to be meeting me there to take me back to where I belonged. They wasn't there, so I started to look around, and I'm hovering in the air over my bed, at the foot of my bed, and I noticed the walls are transparent. I can see through the walls, my bedroom walls, and I did a 180 to my left. I had to tilt down, but I saw my own body. I call it the vessel. I saw the vessel there. And I could see it was covered with blankets all the way up to my neck. My mother probably did it, had me covered up like that because of the pneumonia. And my head was turned to the right, like over my shoulder, and I could actually see my part of my tongue hanging out of my mouth. I did a 180 back around to my right, and there was the doorway, and that light. Well, like I said, I knew I was supposed to go through that to go home. Well, I was all ready to go through it. And to the right in the doorway, I saw this little black dot way in the back. And so it stopped me from going through, watching it. Well, anyways, as I watched it, it kept getting a little bigger and bigger and bigger. Got closer, I started to see a form. I could see a torso, legs, arm, and a head. And it got up to the doorway. I'm going to say probably 20 to 40 feet before it got to the doorway, it stopped. And I'm wondering, why am I being shown this? And I received the message that said, now, when I received this message, what I was, I heard it through every part of what I was. I didn't hear it like Well, I had no ears. The only thing I had was a form and eyes. I heard it through every part of what I was. And it said to me, I am in this form, so you will not be afraid. I thought to myself, well, I'm not afraid. Then it told me it wasn't my time to die. I had to go back. And I was thinking, oh, I don't want to go back. And it was like something was forcing me to go back in the vessel. And I can remember going through the skin, the bone, and the flesh. I could see that all happen when I was going through it. Now, what it showed me, at the time, I really wasn't sure what it was. Then several years later, when I got to be 16, well, I lived on a dairy farm, and it was in the summertime. It was just a couple weeks after my birthday. My birthday is June 18th, and it was probably the very end of June, early July. One night, I woke up, and I was freezing. I mean, I was so cold, it was like I was in a big meat freezer. I was so cold. Before I go any further, I have to explain how I slept, okay? Now, when I slept, I either slept on my left or right side. When I would get in bed, I would first lay on my back, and I'd lift my legs way up there, pull my blankets out from underneath from the mattress and the box spring. My mother used to always say to me, she used to call me Junior. She said, Junior, how do you get your bed such a mess? Well, anyways, and I had turned my light off. Like I said, I was so cold, I sat up, and well, before I sat up, I noticed my bed was made so perfect. The blankets were all folded underneath the bed, at the foot of the bed, up along the side. The blankets were up under my underarm, over my chest, down the other side, and folded back probably 5 or 6 inches. And I was thinking, how did my bed get made like this? So I sat up, and I noticed my T-shirt was soaked. It was so wet. I grabbed it. I put my hand up to my chest, and I grabbed it, and I seen water, like liquid, come between my fingers and between my finger and thumb, wet. And I let loose, but when I did, the water, it was like it was alive, right back into my shirt. And I thought to myself, what the hell is going on? So I got out of bed, I took the shirt off, threw it on the floor next to my bed. I got another dry T-shirt, put it on, because I had, well, my bedtime every night was 9 o'clock, because June and July is our busiest time of the year when we're on a dairy farm. There's a hay in. I got back in bed, turned my light off, and I went back to bed. And this was probably like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, because I had to get up at 6 so we could be milking at 6:30. Well, 6 o'clock came around. I got up, and I remember being cold and stuff, and I went to pick my T-shirt up to throw it into my dirty clothes bin. But when I picked it up, I was expecting it to still be wet, because there was no way it was going to, as wet as that was, it would be dry, but it was bone dry. I thought, what's going on? I must have been dreaming, just not knowing, you know, I dreamt it. So a couple days later, we was going to bale hay, and I was sitting in the back of our pickup truck, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, like a video playing in my head. I was walking up this ramp. It was a spiral, like a spiral staircase, but it was a ramp. And the ramp probably was at least 20 feet wide. And the wall was probably, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 feet away from the ramp. And it's a bright, shiny silver color that I've never seen before. And I can feel something's controlling me. I'm being made to walk up this ramp. Well, I can move my head just a little bit, my eyes. I'm looking at the wall, and I kind of looked to see where I was, but I couldn't see no corners, no place. And as I looked straight, and I kind of like looked down, the wall kind of like curved in. Then looking left and right, it was like, you know, looking at a drum, round, as far as I could see. Well, as I was walking, being made to walk up, I felt whatever was controlling me, I could feel it slip loosen on me. And I looked over to my right, and I saw all these different sized pipes in the center of spiral ramp. And as I looked, I kind of looked down, trying to see where I was at, because I had no idea where I was at. And I looked, and there was this, on the ramp, there was this being, it was probably 3.5-4 foot tall, had almond-shaped eyes, and a nose that had to be kind of like flat on its face. Then it was end of the video. And then I thought, what the hell's going on? You know, I had no idea. I didn't say that to anybody because I thought everybody, my family, my friends, thought I was all crazy. So about a week later, same thing. Wet t-shirt, my bed made so perfect. So I got to be having a dream that I'm not remembering. So, but this time, nothing happened. I remember nothing. I didn't see nothing. So I thought maybe somebody was coming in my bedroom and playing a joke on me. So I got the keys. I had two bedroom doors. I got the keys to them and locked my bedroom door. Figured, I keep them out. Nobody's going to do it. Well, again, a week later, that same thing happened. Wet t-shirt, freezing, bed made perfect. But the only difference was there was a couple things different. One, I had this awful haunting feeling I had killed. And I felt like I had been in the military. Now I'm really puzzled. I'm really thinking, what the hell is going on? So I taught myself into believing I was just having dreams. Didn't remember what was going on. So I kind of like put everything in the back of my mind about it. But I mean, I didn't totally forget about it. So this was in 1969. So a few years later, I was dating this girl. And it was probably in October, maybe September. We had gone to on a Saturday night, we had gone to a late showing of a movie, and it probably got over about 1 o'clock. And because we both lived in the country, well, on the way home, or on the way taking her home, this one road, it was called Moss Hill Road. Whichever end you went up, it was uphill. It was another, like, a small mountain. And on the top, it kind of flattened out. Well, we got up there, and I was driving real slow because the road is, it was a dirt road part of it, and it was not very wide. You had to go slow. If you went off the way I was going, if you went off the right side, you were going to, go tumble down the hill. Well, anyways, as I'm driving, on my left shoulder, it felt like somebody tapped me on my shoulder. And at first I thought, wow, I was at the movies, maybe somebody got in my car, was in the back of it. Like, I looked around to my left and side to see, and I couldn't see nothing. But out of my window, driver's window, I seen this bright light, the sky. It was way off to the west. And we have a small airport where I live, and I thought a plane was coming in to land, but now this is probably like 2 o'clock in the morning now, but our airport was so small, it was 11 o'clock, it shut down. I thought, well, it can't be an airplane coming in, so I stopped the car and we got out, and we watched it, and as we're watching it, it was almost directly over top of us, but to the west of us. And I'm looking at it, I said, my God, I've seen that color before. So I was inside of it. And it got right over top of us, but in front of us a little bit. And it made a turn to the north. Now, this turn wasn't a turn, it was a slide. It never stopped or slowed down. It just slid sideways. And went. It was, the size of it had to be, probably the size of a soccer ball, but it was way up in the sky, and it went down to where it was almost the size, probably the tennis ball. Then, without stopping, it reversed, and it was coming back toward us, and both her and I, we received the message telepathically, said, we're not interested in you. And I said to myself, oh, okay, I said, must be we're not what they were looking for. So comes back and where it did 90 degrees slide sideways. Yep, it got there, it passed right over top of us and it went south, probably the same, about the size of a tennis ball, and it come back. And as it was coming back, it said, "We're not interested in your planet." So when they said that, I figured, well, they wasn't talking about us, they was talking about all humans. So it still headed back towards where it did the 90 degree slide. Anyway, just before it got that, we received the third message. It said, "Watch what we can do." Our eyes are glued on it because we know something's going to happen. Anyway, where it did the 90, it stopped just for a split second, and it took off so fast, I mean, it had to be close to light speed. And if you would have blinked your eyes, you would have never seen, you would have lost it. You would have never seen it again. We could watch it going to the west, and we could tell it was going, like, you know, out, way out in space. So after that, I thought maybe that wasn't a coincidence. I seen that. I was made to see that because they didn't want me to forget what happened to me in 69. What happened was I was abducted 3 times. Now, time went on. In 75, I got married, and I kind of put everything related to UFOs and aliens behind me. Well, then in the late 80s, Ronald Reagan was president, and I think it was his second term, and he was at the United Nations giving a speech, and he was talking about some bad aliens, and I stood up from my chair. My wife and I was watching it. I said, "I know something about bad aliens." He says, "What are you talking about?" I says, "I don't know, but I know something about bad aliens." So now I'm really, really, really puzzled. Why would I know about some bad aliens? So now I'm trying to find anything I can about aliens. I watch the news programs to see if they're talking about, but I'm not getting no place. So then in 2000, my wife and I separated. And in 2003, we finally got our divorce and stuff like that. And I kept the house that we had. And I had arthritis in my knee and my shoulder. And in the winter times, it was really bad because in the winter times, it got cold there in New York State where I was at. Well, anyways, I sold the house to some people I knew, and they let me stay there for a couple of months so I get everything moved because I was going to move with a brother down south in Florida. And last month I was there, every time I went to bed, didn't matter if I was going to bed for the night or just taking a nap, I'd lay there, and there would be four of them. And it was like they were a shadow, an oblong shadow. I couldn't move. I was like, I was totally paralyzed from the neck down. And as I see these shadows, there's one almost on each side of my shoulders, my left and right. And at my legs, by my knees, but I can't tell what they are. They're like an oblong black shadow standing. And as I come forward, there would be another one right behind it. And each time as it closer and closer they got, there was more of them. And as it got close to me and stopped, like all the other shadow objects would go into one. But I could never make out what they were. Well, this went on for a whole month. I thought I was going nuts, crazy. So I was going to call a psychiatrist. Well, the day before I was going to call, I come up with this idea. I said, "I'm not going to lay there. I'm going to just lay there. I'm not going to try to fight to get away. I'm just going to lay there and see what happens." And sure enough, the images of them, they were four small grays. That one was holding my right shoulder down, my left shoulder, hand on it, my shoulder and my elbow. I was on a table. My arms are out, my palms are down. And two come up on my leg. One hand just above my knee, pushing my leg down, and the other hand holding my leg. Then above me, there was like being in an operating room, big light, but it was way high up. I couldn't look straight up at it because it was so bright. And I'm turning my head because thinking, did I get wounded? But why am I thinking I got wounded? So I'm looking over to see where I got wounded. And I looked to my left, and out of the dark, because the room was black, dark, this great big tall alien, probably, I'm going to say, 8-9 feet tall, come out of the dark and come up to my midway. I grabbed the instrument up by the light with its left hand, its foot, like the palm of its hand, just below my sternum. And I had only 3 fingers, and they were long. They come all the way up on, up to my throat. That big instrument, it was pulling it down towards me. It was pulling it down towards my face. I could see it looked like a big syringe, a big needle on it, about the size of a pencil. Well, maybe even bigger than that. I thought to myself, oh, my God, that's going to hurt. He's going to stick me right in the eye with it. And as it gets closer, I see it's not coming towards my eye, but just above it. And it touched me just above my right eye towards my nose and just above it, almost where people say that the third eye is, up there. And it was lights out, just nothing. I was awake and dead, and all this information come flooding into my head. It was like an avalanche. I couldn't grasp it all, but I caught enough of it that I knew what happened. First night they abducted me, they took me to the moon. And I was there, and I was standing on the edge of a crater, and just above me I could see part of that ship, and it was definitely saucer-shaped. And like I said, maybe 3 feet away from the crater, and I take my feet and I move them back and forth, and I start sinking down. I probably go down like 3 or 4 inches under the surface. I look in the crater, and I see 3 or 4 buildings, tall but not real tall. And off of 2 of them, there was quantum huts coming off of them. And there was some light, floodlights on the tall buildings flashing down on them. See, because it was dark. I mean, it was really black. And they were camouflaged and looked just like the moon. That I remember, next thing I remember is I was at the end of one of the quantum huts. We went through one group of doors that shut. There was another set in front of us. We had to wait there. There was like a mist that came down over us. Oh, I was in a spacesuit. I wasn't, you know, there. I mean, I was in a spacesuit. And then after a few minutes, we walked through the second door, went through a right into a little thing, and a human person helped me take the spacesuit off. This is where I took a physical examination. And I remember my T-shirt, my underwear, I had to fold it on a clipboard. I had to carry it to different stations where they did different things testing me. That's where they took me the first time. And the second time was a test for fear. They wanted to see what your reaction was when you seen you wasn't on Earth, out in space. And this is where I met, when I was died, and I was showed that the alien said, so you will not be afraid. This is where I met it. That's why I was told so I would not be afraid. It was doing a test. It had you under mind control. And I got to tell you, that is the strangest thing I ever had done. Well, I was standing there, and it was standing right behind me, and it was so close, it's like I could feel it against my body, but it wasn't touching me. And I was looking out this, I was looking around, and there was a window in front of me, but it wasn't a window. And I'm looking out there, and it's really black out there, dark. And I look down to my left, down a little bit, and there I can see a planet, probably the size of a soccer ball, size of a basketball, beautiful blue color. And I think it was the Pacific that I was looking at. I know it was Earth. As I'm looking there, the mind control, I can feel its mind entangled with my mind. It's like a big ball of string, both our minds together. And I can actually see with its eyes. I'm looking at myself, the top of my head. And like I said, one race was like 8-10 foot tall. They're really tall. You only have 3 fingers. And I had an artist draw a picture of one for me. Well, anyways, as I'm doing it there, it told me I was forbidden to turn around and look at them. I thought maybe that's why, because I couldn't move nothing. The only thing I could move was my eyes. And I think that's why, is because I was forbidden to turn around and look at them. And I said, why can't I see them? And it answered me. It said it was 5 other alien races plus one military human. They want to see what your reaction is that seeing you not on the planet and out in space. And it told me some other things that they wanted to make contact with us, full contact. They wanted people to know about them, but they have rules. And one of their rules are, before they make contact with any planet, full contact, now this is my word, I use government, the governments of all the world have to agree on it, and it said ruling powers. They all have to agree on it, but if just one says no, they will not make full contact. Well, I've been saying this for years and years, telling people, saying about, oh, you know, like last year I did an interview with a guy, and I told him, I said, they was back in, I think it was June there, the American government was supposed to come out with about UFOs, and people said, oh, this, they will not. Not going to happen anytime soon. All the governments in the world have got to agree on it. And that's what it told me.
Okay, Jim, good job. And at the time, you didn't have any of these memories. These memories came later on.
No, yeah, because they came back and they gave them to me. Why, I don't know. Because if they didn't come back and do that, what I said, for a whole month and that there, I would still be wondering what happened to me. Then after that is when I found out I could call in UFOs. I could go outside and I can just think about it and ask them to show me that they're real, and they show up. I had my second wife, she left me because she got so afraid.
So they just turn up. When you call them, they turn up.
I can go out there and I don't even have to look up in the sky. And if I've showed a few people, and I can just point up in the sky and say, look right up there, and they get close to my arm and watch my finger, and I said, just watch right there. Within a couple of seconds, the ship will show up.
And when was your last experience there, Jim?
A month ago, that one I was telling you about, whatever that was. You know, I asked for them to show me that they were real, and 2 days later, boom, my bedroom. Anyways, that's my story, Nick, what I have.
That's wonderful, Jim.
There's definitely more going on than what the government tells us. There was something visiting Earth from other planets.
You're absolutely right, yeah.
No matter who they were, I mean, there have been aliens probably before man was here. So, okay.
Jim, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you enjoy the rest of your morning, okay? And I'll be in touch.
Okay, yeah, okay, Nick. All right. Take care.
You too, Jim. That's great. Take care of yourself.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Jim. That is all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Gary and Jay for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.